So I mentioned to you probably several weeks back about a lady that I have known for quite some time. I knew about her long before I knew her personally. Her name's Ann Smith, and her husband served 20-some years in Japan as missionaries, came back to the States, and then served over at Andrews University when I was privileged to be a student there. And through the years, I've been able to make some connection occasionally with this great lady. Some of you may not have heard that a couple of years ago, she was going to have lunch with her friend Gloria Gaither, but she said, "I've got to go get my license renewed." And she was 95, and it got renewed. So she's going to be 100 in January, and she's decided not to get it renewed because the biggest problem is not that she can't drive, it's she can't lift her walker into the trunk. So this is the kind of lady she is. And I remember several years back, she had all these lists of things she had said and written that started with "what if." And so I've got a yellow pad of paper on my desk, and I wrote as fast as I could these sentences, you know. I'm sure I didn't get them all, but I wrote a lot of them down. And thankfully, after people really urging her to do this, she's published a book. It's called "What If," and it looks like this. And they're available to you, of course, if you would like to buy one. We made that easy for you to do that direct to the publisher. So I want to read some of these things that I believe are worth repeating. I can't read all 135 or 125 of them, but I want to start with this. What if I discover that sometimes I try to do God's job? What if doing the right thing is not enough if it's done with the wrong spirit or the wrong motivation? What if people who cannot forget are worse off than people who cannot remember? What if when I do not feel heard, I do not feel loved? What if most addictions have their roots in loneliness? What if it is possible to turn regrets into useful insights that benefit me and others? What if I spent more time bringing healing to my relationships than trying to focus on who is to blame? What if pain is a gift because it alerts us that something is wrong? What if I started with people where they are, rather than where I wish they were? And one more. What if learning from the past is essential, but living in the past is detrimental? It's good stuff. So as I began to think through the what ifs when I first heard about these, and it's what was on our mind several years ago, I thought a lot about the what ifs of our life. For today, to get the series started, I've kind of put it into three categories that I want to talk about. I was reading Paul Tripp's daily reading in his book, New Morning Mercies, and came on this quote: "The Bible tells you that real peace is found in resting in the wisdom of the one who holds all of your what ifs and if onlys in his loving hands." What if we listen to what the Bible has to say? That real peace is found in resting in the wisdom of the one who holds all of your what ifs and if onlys in his loving hands. So let that sink in. So there are three things I want you to kind of grasp for a moment as we begin the series. First of all, our what if questions occasionally will, if we're not careful, take us back to times of regret. What if I wouldn't have done that? What if I wouldn't have said that? We gotta be careful. This is not designed to take us back to regurgitate or remember the things we're ashamed of, or the things we would like to have a do-over, the things that are in our life that might be the result of some mistake we made many years ago. And I think if we're not careful, we forget that God does forgive and God does forget. And we need to quit reminding him. So if you have a problem lately of going, what if I hadn't messed up like that? It's time to let it go and give it to God if you haven't already. And if you've given it to God, keep reminding yourself that he's got it and you don't need it anymore. What if I made different choices? What if I learned how my selfishness had hurt others? And we say, how I wish that moment in my life was not part of my story. What if I'd understood the dangers of temptation? Or what if I realized just how insecure I was and still am? How insignificant I felt. It's important to remember that sin God has forgiven has been forgotten. Sin that God has forgiven has been forgotten. It's the devil of hell himself that prowls, the Bible tells us this, that prowls around like a roaring lion seeking those he may destroy. And we are all targets. If you're following Jesus, you're on his list. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 12 says this, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. I love the verse in Hebrews 8:12. If there's any doubt in your minds about your past, God says, I'll forgive them for the wicked things they've done, and I will not remember their sins anymore. It's got to be one of the best statements in the Bible. Of course, they all are, I guess. But just in case you thought whatever you've done in your past will never be forgotten or forgiven, that you'll forever be marked by something you're ashamed of, I have good news for you. You have no need to carry that any further. It's been taken care of. It's done. So if your what ifs are taking you back to regrets of life, remember, you've been forgiven, your sins are forgiven. I just want to caution you with that first detail as we get into this series. Be careful that there's times in life when we do have regrets and we think, what if I had handled that differently? What if I'd shown more character? What if I'd realized the harm sin could bring into my life and how it could hurt others? So only spend a moment. The only time I think it's good to maybe visit it, and don't even do it intentionally, but maybe you're taken back there. Maybe evil itself wants to take us back to things we're ashamed of. But while you're at it, why don't you start thanking God while you're there being taken back to a place you don't need to be? Why don't you start right there saying, oh, but thank God for what he did for me that made me different than that. And we quit holding on to that stuff. So that's the first thing I think we need to keep in mind, that we must remember that what if questions in our lives can take us back to seasons of regret. Secondly, a second question we often ask, we'll say, what if I had missed this life God has given me? This is where we start celebrating a bit, not bragging, but celebrating that God did something significant in our life, and in whatever moment we were in, we were wise enough and it was clear enough that we could receive it from God and celebrate what God was doing. It's always interesting to me, and I've heard it for years, you've heard it for years, if you want to really make God laugh, tell him your plans. And I've done that many times. And I was, at age of 22, I was the most brilliant 22-year-old on planet. I was the most brilliant 22-year-old at the university. Somehow I didn't get the cum laude, I've graduated. Thank you, Lottie, not cum laude, but we all have this tendency to overestimate ourselves, and we're just going to go change the world when we're 22 and college graduates, or go get further education, or master's degree, or doctorate, whatever. We all love looking back on that. I made a wise choice then. This is a chance. This what if, this second thought of a what if, this is for those of us who occasionally will look back and say, I'm so thankful God got me through that. I'm so thankful I don't have to go back to that. And sometimes the what ifs will put a smile on your face. You can go back to a season in time and say, wow, I thought of one this morning, just out of the blue. What if when I was baptized at 9 years old, the water would not have been freezing cold? Because that's about all I remember that day. That baptistry was portable. My dad was baptizing me and my brother, and it was ice cold. I mean, that's the kind of water you put a watermelon in to cool it off, you know, before you eat it. But I remember it. Maybe that's why God gave it to us. Maybe that's why the water was so cold. But I can reflect back on that, and it brings a smile that I knew what that meant. My brother and I knew what it meant. We'd seen it modeled, and we gave our life to Christ, and we've never looked back. But sometimes these what-ifs will give us a chance to celebrate a little bit. We remember that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask for or imagine. This is where we celebrate the ways God called us to something we would never have dreamed he would have called us to. He's called us to a life that's vastly different than what we planned. And every now and then I go back to that what if. What if I hadn't accepted the invitation from a friend to come to Oklahoma for the first time 43 years ago? I was 12, you know. Not really, I'm lying. I was 22. I mean, I know I look like I could be that young, but I was 22. What if I'd never come to Oklahoma City at the invitation of a friend that'd been instrumental in my life? I'd never been here before. I thought, what's it like out there? Do I need to buy a pair of cowboy boots? I didn't have any. You know, you get just preconceived ideas on what Oklahoma is, but really I had some wonderful friends that I knew lived here. And you know, what if I hadn't, here's the best one. What if I hadn't come to Oklahoma when I was invited to come to Oklahoma? I would not have met Kim. That was worth the trip right there. And if nothing else happened after that, that was worth the trip. But God had something in mind for both of us that we still to this day shake our heads and wonder, is this a dream or what is going on? Because we just didn't see this coming. And that's where it surprises you all are when God shows up and does something significant. And it's just been a journey. So every now and then you'll look back and you'll think, what if, boy, what if I would never have been there? What if I had not met them? Or what if I hadn't made that decision to spend less than I make? And you got a slew of decisions maybe back there in the back that you can, in the back of your mind, in the back in your history, and you can say, boy, I'm so thankful in that moment God offered wisdom and I took it. I agreed with it. I followed it. Great things can happen when these what if moments come our way. So be careful, don't let the what if take you to what if you hadn't messed up. The second one then, but let God take you somewhere where you can celebrate. What if this church, if God didn't have this plan for this church that still unfolds? What if? So asking what if can take you back to past regrets. And then asking what if, you know, where you've said, maybe said no to God's nudge. This can remind you that God moved in a way you could never have believed or expected. That God had a nudge, God had a plan. And you said, okay. And then something unfolded that you've never, that makes you say this phrase, I've never been the same since. But then the third thing I'll say about these what if questions is, it's choosing to tackle the question of what if can really inspire us to take steps of faith that could change the trajectory of our lives, families, our marriage, our finances, as we look ahead. What if in the future? What if in the future I was able to do whatever it is? What if in 5 years, having lived with some more discipline, I could have this, or I could have saved this? Or what if I start making myself available to people at church who I don't even know yet, but they've got questions about God or they got questions about the church? What if I could be there for them when they wanted to ask that question? And God will do, he'll answer that prayer if you pray it. What if God is calling us to do something we've never done before? What if God is calling you to volunteer in a way that will change your life and also along the way change someone else's? What if God is more concerned with the direction and focus of my life than he is with my accomplishments. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, it's lengthy, but I want to start in Hebrews 11. And it says this, Hebrews 11 verses, I'm going to go down to verse 39. No, 1 and 2 and then 39. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And all these people that are mentioned in this Hall of Fame of Faith, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, it says. Because of their faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance that about things we can't see. That's what the Bible tells us. And all the people that in this Hall of Fame of Faith earned a good reputation because of their faith. And we sometimes spend so much time predicting what God might do, and we spend way too much time demanding him to do something that we often can miss the greatest opportunities that are right in front of us. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 12 to 21. It's worth a read. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to start at verse 12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged, and this is Paul, because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. He goes on. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of God's people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask for or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and to Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What if we spend a lot of time and energy and effort learning what the Bible has to say about our privileges, of what God's wanting to do for us, through us, and help us maybe bring something good to someone else, have an impact on someone else. It's easy that occasionally we want to think that the what ifs come up because we're just responsible, caring people. And that may be a part of the reason we're prone to worry, but at its root, what ifs usually come from something much deeper within. And Jesus tells us that the root of anxiety stems from little faith, or put another way, a little trust in God. And the picture you need to have is something akin to a baby being held in a parent's arms. It's utter dependence. So when I'm holding a child, when I'm holding one of the little girls now, they're all growing up a little bit, and I can still pick up one of them, the little babies that Heidi knows I've called her a little baby, she's gonna kill me, because she's a full-grown adult at 5 years old and in charge. But Remy and Andy, you know, yeah, I can put them in my arms. They're okay being there for about 30 seconds. But you know what trust that demonstrates? A baby being held in a parent's arms, it's totally complete dependence, because they're assuming we're not going to drop them. And probably there's nothing more we naturally resist than dependence on someone else, especially God. Why do we resist this so much? And it's because we feel like we have some level of control. Some level of control over our lives, our future, our destiny. So we plan and we plot and we buy insurance of every kind. Have a sense of no matter what happens, we'll be okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I've got a lot of it. But most days we can wake up by an alarm at the right time, commute to work, and be on time to be assured that in a while, but then every once in a while, the alarm doesn't go off, we get stuck in traffic, we get fired. It's in these moments we're reminded that the control we think we have is actually really just an illusion. The opposite of faith isn't doubt. It's control. The opposite of faith isn't doubt, it's control. Because a lot of times, I know a lot of believers, and I'm one of them, where we believe firmly in what God has promised he will do for us and through us if we'll be open to him and follow his lead by faith. And we all want to believe we're doing that. We have desire to do that. But when I find out that I'm wanting to kind of go fix it all myself and make it all happen on my own, and we all do that at some time or another in our life, I realize I don't doubt anything. I'm just trying to control it. So the opposite of faith isn't doubt, it's control. And we confess with the scriptures that the Lord directs our steps, but because our faith is small, we're not so sure that he'll know how to direct our steps the way we want them to go. What if questions rush in, and when they come, they leave a mark? And again, we confess with the scriptures that the Lord directs our steps, but because our faith is small, we're not so sure that he knows how to direct our steps very well. It's the ultimate blind spot, so to some degree, the ultimate arrogance. Are we going to trust him or not? When you get this nudge, sometimes you're sitting in church or a class or maybe in your car, you might be somewhere by yourself just having a few minutes of peace, and there's something that might come across your mind, something that God wants to do through you, something that you know that he's kind of brought someone to mind who might could use a phone call from you. Or maybe you'll be sure and look him up at church and say, you know what, you were on my mind this week. Anything going on? Anybody I can pray for you? I don't think anybody minds those questions, but what if God puts something in your mind that he wants you to do, someone in your minds that he wants you to touch and bless? We know the what ifs, though, can also cause us to learn from the past. It's an opportunity to benefit on what God has done, and it leads us to take even greater steps of faith. What is that something larger, wiser than ourselves? Jesus spells it out in Luke 22. His disciples sitting there, and he said this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse or barn, and yet God feeds them." He continues in chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. "And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and don't be worried, for all the nations of the world seek these things, and your Father knows you need them." What if we really took that step of faith and depended on him and waited for him and put everything in his hands, and we really truly ready to let him use us in ways we may not be comfortable, use us in ways that if we'll just let him do it, we'll emerge on the other end of that experience eager to help other people help other people, and you'll keep helping other people along the way. That's what can happen if we'll just listen. And if someone walks away and you're not sure you can help, and maybe you want to help, and you might find yourself saying, "I wonder, what if I had said this? Or what if I had just asked, is everything okay?" What if? What if there's a deeper meaning to my life than I have yet discovered? That's a good one to pray about this week. Came across this quote. "Over time, people regret what they didn't do more than what they did do. Regrets of inaction are far more common than regrets of action. I'm going to give it one more. Over time, people regret what they didn't do more than they regret what they did do. And regrets of inaction are far more common than regrets of action. What if you decided right now that you're going to trust him in a way you never have before? You're going to pray, Lord, you lead me and I'll follow. But you better not say it unless you're really ready to do that, because he'll take you up on it. What if we could all truly be secure and find our security in him, in Jesus, instead of looking for others to bring us some kind of security that we might have for just a short period of time, and then it goes away and we need another dose? Jesus has a permanent situation ready for you. He gave his life. We have eternal life in him, and he wants to do things in your life and through you and through me that will impact eternity, that will impact somebody finding Jesus who doesn't even know there's somebody that cares. What if we all did that? I'm going to ask our prayer teams to be making their way toward the front of all of our rooms. We'll be delighted to pray with you about whatever's on your mind. It may have nothing to do with the message today, but whatever you walked in with, and you just need a voice to just say a prayer for you or over you and speak to you in a way that might be helpful and beneficial with whatever's on your mind. So please allow us to do that. Those of you online, you can certainly fill out a prayer request card, and we will get those, and we'll be praying for you when we get those. You can do that online right now, in fact, and we'll be praying for you. All right, let's pray. Father, how we thank you for the privilege of knowing that sometimes in our worst moments, we feel you must be finished with us, but we find out pretty soon and pretty quickly that you've not given up on us. In fact, you're ready. Help us make some changes to turn and go a new direction, to love others like you've loved us. And Father, may we today answer the question, what if we did what you ask us to do? Only you have that answer, Father, and I just pray you will bring that to those willing to ask the question. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.